Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hello again. Welcome back to the Bachelor Podcast. My name is Ryan Jones, joined as always by Katie Waite. Hello, Katie.
Hello.
Week three of The Bachelor, and it's really just a continuation of last week. We start with a rose ceremony, and it's drama from the jump.
I honestly thought that the episode was one of the most roller coaster, like emotion wise episodes that I don't want to say ever, but we've had in a long time.
That would be so Chris many Harrison emotions. Speak. That would be Chris Harrison speak. The most dramatic episode we've ever had.
Not quite the most dramatic ever, but it was up there. There were highs, lows, everything. And it was just constantly, like, you'd have a really good, you know, jumping ahead a little bit, a really good one-on-one date, and then it would just, like, switch into, like, just having a mental breakdown in a hotel to, like, mean girls to, it was everything all rolled into one. Well, 2 hours.
Well, you know, when we were watching last week's episode, we wondered sort of why would you cut the episode where you did, because it's Sarah, you know, whatever you want to call it, passing out, feeling faint, whatever, getting sick. And she already has a rose. So, like, why would this even be worth, like, starting the next episode at? And well, now we know why, because the entire episode was some version of how much crap does Sarah deserve versus how far have the women gone over the edge. And even that encapsulated even the one-on-one, because they had to sort of delay that while we dealt with this.
Yeah. I honestly think, like, after seeing her with the, like, honestly, just with her and her mental health and, like, panic attacks and how she's dealing with this, I don't think that was a fake, like, blackout. Like, I think that was real, and that's kind of how it started. I'm not justifying everything else she does in this episode. Definitely. But I can see how she might have actually blacked out. It was like what the stress just started to get to her. And then the following week of dates definitely did not help.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think watching it last week, I was very up in the air about it, leaning more towards, oh God, she's faking, but why even bother? Cause you already have a rose. Like, it just doesn't make sense. And so I think I'm with you. I think she definitely had a thing, whatever it was. But unfortunately, to steal a sort of a poker or gambling word, she was then on tilt, because then everything she did was wrong. And not necessarily in, like, I don't know, maybe wrong is the wrong word, but she couldn't do anything to dig herself out. All she did was just dig her hole deeper, and it just from the jump. So, like, the next morning, everyone's still talking about, like, oh, she doesn't even want to hang out with us. She didn't apologize. Victoria's saying now she's the one that has to go. And it just, I think, it set the tone for sort of the entire episode.
Yeah, I think, like, after something like that, it's kind of hard to come back from something like that in a house, quote unquote, of however many girls, 20 something girls. Whether it was fake or not, like she probably was super embarrassed. But she also kind of liked that attention. I think that moment she got with Matt after she fainted. I think it was kind of just a mix of a lot of emotions that she was having. Also, in the back of her mind, the whole family thing, not knowing if this is even really for her, which it's not. But I think it was just, she didn't know how to handle all the different kinds of emotions that she was having.
Right. And
which I honestly probably wouldn't either, but it takes a very specific girl or guy, I think, to get into this, you know, this type of reality series life. But it's not for her.
It's just that she did. So she does the fainting and whatever. And I think I don't even know if she needed to apologize for that, especially if it were real. But then to follow that up with sort of ostracizing yourself from the group and then crashing the group date and interrupting someone. And then,
yeah, like you're making it worse. You're right. You're 100% making it worse.
So I agree that it's hard to come back from, but it's impossible to come back from it when every single thing you do is just dropping another bomb on yourself. And it's like, mm-hmm. Hey, you guys are mad at me, so I'm going to crash the date and interrupt someone's time and then make it super awkward because I refuse to leave. And then I'm going to try to apologize, but then not know how to properly put it into words because people actually question me on it. And she made it worse that way. And then she made it worse by staying in her room basically nonstop. Like everything she did just made it worse and worse.
Yeah. And I don't think she knew she was making it worse. Like I thought she was like, oh, maybe if I just remove myself from the situation, then like they'll forgive me and they'll just forget about it and it will kind of just go away. But no, it was the opposite.
Yeah. And it goes back to, I think, exactly what you're saying about how she's not built, clearly not built for this, because every single instinct she had about her situation and any sort of awareness you thought maybe she had was just completely wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Like everything.
Yeah.
And
to think like you don't, when you're in those rooms, like, as we know, like you don't have anything else for you to think about really. Like you don't have magazines, you don't have books, you don't have your phone, you don't have a computer. Like you're just in your thoughts all the time. And that's what producers, like they want you to get in your head and start making all these, you know, crazy outlandish gestures of mental breakdowns, really. Kind of like, which is like really sick, but that's what it is.
Yeah. And in the middle of all of this, there's a group date that has to happen. And this is another thing that sort of lights her fuse, because she's not on the group date, but she has to watch the group date, which is, you know, we see them walk in and it's our old friend Ashley reading what none of us knew we needed in our life, which is Chris Harrison penned smut.
Do we need it in our life though?
Don't we? Aren't you going to read it?
I don't know. I mean, I might actually, but yeah, I didn't know it was a thing. I did know he wrote a book at some point and I thought it was, I don't know.
A novel.
I didn't even know smut. What it was. Yeah, I guess. I was like, oh yeah, cool. He wrote a book. He has a wedding ring line now. Like, cool. I didn't know what kind of book it was.
Well, now I have to wonder what kind of wedding ring line it is. I mean,
yeah. Mm-hmm. I would love to see, I'm sure we can find it somewhere, but I'd love to see the sales like today on that book.
Oh, it's got to be through the roof. I mean, like I said, I know you're going to read it now.
It has to be like number one on something.
Absolutely. And it leads to having all the people on the date sort of have to write their own, I guess, chapter, but with them as the stars.
Literally.
Yeah, with Matt. And basically outlining, I guess, what their fantasy suite situation would be like, I guess.
Yeah, something like that.
And some get a little more graphic than others. And I'm not sure the best way to go here, because he sort of straddled, no pun intended, the line by saying to some, like, oh yeah, it's good that you kept, you know, some, you know, something for the imagination. And then for the, I want to bleep you like a bleep and then a bleep and then we bleep together, bleep, bleep. He's like, that was the best. It was so great.
And yeah, like, what do you want?
Which was exactly the point of the chapter. What do you want?
Yeah.
Well, apparently he wants everything. So God
apparently.
Bless, I guess. And it's big shock, but, you know, we're leading up to it. And, you know, someone like Katie's is obviously a little risque. And but then the only person that can top that is Victoria, who is
obviously
every other, like, I don't even know that maybe we got like three words.
Yeah, there were so many beeps. I was like, is this just like a joke? Like, producers just threw in a bunch of like an over the top amount of beeps. But no, it probably was her.
Right. And everybody is having a great time laughing, ha ha ha, except Sarah in the back, who it's the start of like breakdown number three. And this revelation that usually we're not talking about, and we've said this a few times this season already, usually we're not talking about this until the final four or final five, when shockingly somebody has the realization that, oh my God, he's dating
other
women. You mean he doesn't just date me and have these other people around as window dressing? Oh my God, he could be intimate with another woman or another man.
Oh, yeah. This is I think is might be one of the earliest realizations. Like week three, like wow.
Yeah, and she made it clear that she knew that this was part of the deal. You know, oh, I'm not stupid, but when you see it, yeah, I know. Are you though? But when you actually see it in front of you, you know, it's a knife through the heart, and it's.
I mean, I get that. Like, yeah, oh, okay, he has like 19 other girlfriends, but then when you actually see it happening and him reacting with that, like, I can understand that. But still, it's also what you signed up for.
Right. And so I think most people are able to compartmentalize a little bit better and or just stick their head in the sand, sort of, you know, if I don't see it, it doesn't exist type situation, and
yeah,
are okay with that. And even though the other people that were there and did see it didn't seem to go off the rails, clearly Sarah just can't process seeing him with another woman, even though 30 other women are there.
Yeah, and someone said that actually to her at one point in the house, and I don't know who it was because I lost my notes, but I also didn't know who it was. It wasn't like quote unquote main character. But she was like, she said something along the lines of, you can't be in denial. Like, this is where we are. This is what's happening. Like, people are going to keep getting dates and you're not going to be on every date. So,
the sooner you realize that, the better off you're going to be in this competition,
right?
Because that's what it is. It's a competition.
Mm-hmm.
And we're 25 seasons in and things have always been the same. There are 20 to 30 women dating the same person at the same time. Like, you know what you're getting into. You weren't dropped, you know, out of nowhere into this show that you've never experienced before or that have seen before. Obviously you've hopefully never experienced
it
before. And she just can't process that. But then we just start spiraling, and you know, the one-on-one, I guess we'll get to in a bit, because I do want to wrap up this group date. So she's not part of the second half, or she's not supposed to be part of the second half of this date.
Right.
And obviously they go to dinner and they're supposed to have their sort of cocktail hour, but she decides, oh my God, I have to talk to Matt. This is Sarah. I have to talk to Matt right this moment. about what's happening in my mind. And mm-hmm. the best time to do that is while he's on another date.
Obviously.
Yeah, because why wouldn't you choose that exact moment? And the women questioned her on that, and she didn't ever really have a good answer for that, or really any question that mm-hmm. they had for her, which is always a great sign when every question they ask, you just
look.
Yeah, and she, I think, produced in the middle of her meltdown, produced one of maybe one of the best scenes, maybe just The Bachelor, but maybe overall in Bachelor Nation, where, you know, oh, I just need a little time, and Katie goes back and is talked into, no, you go steal your time back.
Yeah.
And so Katie says, okay, hey, can I steal him back? And it's, oh, can I have 5 more minutes? And then they start bartering. Like, well, how about 2 more minutes?
Just negotiating like right in front of him. But honestly, like Matt should have said something regardless of, even if he wasn't on one person's side, like even if he didn't say, oh, Katie, you know, I just need a few minutes, or Sarah, you know what, like this is Katie's time. Like this is a group date. You're not on this date, like something like that. But he literally just sat there. And like, we see it all the time. Like it happens, Bachelorette, Bachelor, like they just sit there because they either don't know what to do or they're not allowed to jump in and say anything and just let's see what happens type of thing. But he just sat there and he didn't know. He was like, what do I do?
Yeah, you're right. He didn't have to pick a side. He just had to, he could have just diffused it and said, hey, this isn't your date, go away. Or, okay, let me just wrap this up. We'll be with you in 2 minutes, as opposed to,
I promise I'll go find you.
Let them go back and forth. But Katie, God bless her, you know, because obviously the best name, says, okay, well, since this is our group date, I'm just going to hang out over here. And she literally goes 5 feet away, just standing there while he's trying to sort of talk Sarah through this, and then switches sort of to more generalities when he's speaking to her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what we talked about, and when we were having our time together, the things we spoke about, and then like, oh, can I walk you out? And he created this monster, because then, of course, he, on the way out, he gives her a big kiss and thanks her for coming and seeing him. And that, I think, led her to think, well, I can just keep doing this, even though she's saying both in the moment and to the other girls, like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, I shouldn't have done that, and I have a target on my back, blah, blah, blah. But because Matt kept sort of like, all right, thank you, great job. I think
another thing like we have to remember is that he's never done this before. And like, so he probably doesn't really know a lot of things that he shouldn't be doing. I mean, I'm sure he was prepped very well, but like some situations he doesn't have the, I don't want to say training, but he doesn't have the experience of being in their shoes.
Sure. Yeah. And I think every time she realizes, oh my God, I did something wrong, but then it's countered with, well, Matt's telling me I'm doing something right. So maybe that's part of it too, on top of the personal stuff. And like you said, just not being built for this. But forget about when she tried to apologize to the group and that was a crash and burn. But then even outside, when they're like, listen, we were legitimately worried about you and worried for your health. And if you're coming here to say you can't do this and you're going home, we'll let you go home. But if you're just doing this for attention, like, you know, pick your spots. Why do you have to do it during
this date?
You could have picked any time.
Yeah, I think Katie was, you know, if you came to say bye, then take the time you need. Like, it's fine. You can interrupt. But you had your one-on-one. You had extra time. And now you're crashing this date to talk about, you know, random personal things. That's not okay.
Right. And so then you have the this is one of the most classic moves ever, is you get all of the individual people who haven't spent time with him. saying, oh, I can't, you know, as long as I'm going to get my time with him, it'll be fine. I'll get my time with him. And then cue Matt strolling in. Okay, guys, this has been such a great night. And we didn't have the moment like we had last year with Tayshia when it was like, oh, but I want a time with you. Like, well, too bad. The date's over. At least everybody sort of bit their tongue there.
Yeah.
And he gives the group date to Rachel, who was probably the only person that we really heard from.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of obviously the one-on-one with Serena, but we got a lot of Rachel this week. She was sort of serving as the narrator for a large portion of this. And she gets the group date rose. And you know who she reminds me of?
Who?
The first 3 weeks, and it took me until like an hour and 45 minutes into the third episode to finally figure it out. Mila Kunis. She gives me Mila Kunis vibes.
Mm. Yep, I can see that.
And so,
listen, not a bad thing.
No, oh my God, that should shoot her immediately to the top of the list. And clearly things are going well because she gets the group date rose, which you may have forgotten about because once she gets the rose, it's sort of forgotten about because then the next morning, all of it is we're back to all about Sarah. And as Victoria said, you know, it's not the Sarah show, it's The Bachelor. And even though
it's a memo.
Yeah, I know. And even though it's a one-on-one with Serena, it becomes Sarah where, all right, Serena's ready to go. Oh, Sarah's not here. Oh, well, I'll go get her. And Matt has to go upstairs. And again,
well, they were all like, she's not here. Like wanted him to be like, oh, like what do you mean she's not here? But then I don't think they were expecting him to go find her.
No, it was definitely meant to be sort of a jab and try to show whether it's unstable or just that, you know, clearly she's not here for the right reasons or, you know, fill in your, you know, your cliche from the show. But
no,
instead,
let's go jump in her bed.
Literally jumps in her bed. I mean, how do you just continue to reward bad behavior? Matt, come on.
Yeah.
Gotta be better than that.
I know. This was such a tough episode because like everyone I think loved Sarah and loved her one-on-one and especially in the beginning when, you know, she left her job to care for her dad, like just everything. We were like, oh, she's going to be one of the finals. Like she's such a front runner from week one. And then all this happened.
And, you know, so I want to jump into this before we get into the one-on-one, mainly because the one-on-one was pretty boring. But so there's a line here because I had trouble feeling bad for Sarah, mainly because she made her bed. So, like, when you make your bed, you got to sleep in it. And so that's mainly where I am with this. But on the flip side of that, the women were really tough on her. I mean, you know, you want to use the bullying word, that's fine. I don't have, that's probably not what I would use, but I wouldn't object if you want to. Mm-hmm. But it's just, while I have a hard time feeling bad for her, these girls were tough, even by Bachelor standards. They were tough.
It was rough. Mm-hmm.
I mean, basically out and out telling her that she's going to be in hell. Like, good luck living in this situation now. Like, we're not going to talk to you.
Yeah,
you know, be doing the mean girl act, which I could do without.
Yeah, I mean, that I think is definitely, that line was considered bullying for sure. When Kit said, what'd she say? Like, hopefully your relationship with him is strong because it's not going to be, it's going to be really terrible living in this house or something like that.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And, you know, and even MJ, who for the most part, what we've seen of her and we haven't really gotten a ton of either of them has been pretty fine, you know, like not one way or the other. And both of them coming out like swords out, ready to just attack. And again, don't approve of any of that.
Mm-hmm.
But it just, I couldn't get to either side because everything Sarah did, I just hated.
Yeah. I mean, if Abigail is getting mad at you, then like, I think you need to like step back and think about, you know, what you're doing and how you're coming across, because
that's a good one.
She's she doesn't look like she gets mad at anybody.
Yeah. I mean, when you've lost the sweetest person seemingly on the planet, then maybe you need to look at your methods.
Yikes.
So you would say it was bullying, or just Kit's attack was bullying, or was
I definitely Kit's comment I would consider bullying for sure. And then just the way that they all ganged up on her, knowing that she has literally no one to back her up. That's definitely on the line of bullying more towards yes. Mm-hmm. But them calling out her for doing what she actually did, I mean, I don't, like, you have the right to try to discuss what you were doing and how she came to a date that she wasn't welcomed on. Like, it could have been like a regular argument or, you know, discussion about what was happening, but I think it ended up, I would probably lean towards bullying.
Okay. Yeah. And like I said,
the comments and how they knew that she didn't have, it's not like she had two friends there saying, you know what? No, she didn't do that. Like, she had the right to do blah, blah, blah. Like, they knew she had no one. So that was pretty low.
Yeah. I mean, I have a hard time arguing with any of that. And like I said, anyone wants to say it was bullying, I'm not here to argue with that. I had such a hard time getting on Sarah's side because she was just wrong on every direction. And then obviously you feel bad for her when she's talking about her father, but at the same time, mm-hmm. people have to make their own decisions. But when she's talking about, okay, with my father, we're not talking about years or months. We could be talking about weeks. Well, then I have to go back to, well, why the hell are you here in the first place?
Yeah.
Like, and he, you know, she did say, I'm not leaving just because of him and he wants me to be here. And so, okay, you want to say you're there because he said it's okay. But don't you at some point have to question if your father is potentially, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, you actually have unfortunately, we don't always know when someone's going to go. If you know right. that these are the last days and you're choosing to be in the middle of Pennsylvania on a reality yeah. show.
I mean, I know, I'm, you know, obviously she thought about that before coming, and I'm sure in the end it was probably like a family decision and it ended up being right for her, the right decision for her. But then she finally got here and she was like, this is not the right decision for me.
Yeah. And it just, you know, it just seemed like she said she was going home like 12 different times. And I kept expecting her to, even at the end, after she said goodbye, not to leave. And in the next episode, when they show the car pulling up, I was expecting it to be her.
Yeah. And I didn't think she was fully gone at the end of this episode. So I was surprised.
Yeah. And so I totally feel for her. And like you said, we couldn't say enough great things about her in the beginning. So,
And even Katie did come around a little bit, trying to, you know, when she came up and talked to him, was like, you know, that was really hard to watch. And she kind of got into it there and she was able to understand where she was coming from, because she had a similar situation with her father and didn't get to say goodbye. So they kind of shared a moment there. And I think that's when Sarah knew that it was best to go home.
Yeah. And Katie sort of said, I think, what Sarah probably should have said all along. Like, anytime someone else can express things for you better than yourself, like, again, go back to what you said, probably not the best place for you, but she said, you don't, you know, we don't know what everyone's going through. So I think that's important, especially if you're trying to bully someone out of the house. And that shouldn't be why she leaves. She should be leaving because of her family or because of a personal issue or, you know, for her mental well-being. But it shouldn't be because we're pushing her out the door. And if she could have just vocalized that herself and said, hey, I have some personal issues going on with my family, and that's what has me questioning being here. Because anytime somebody as their reasoning for doing anything in this show is, I don't know if I should be here. Well, immediately that sets everyone else off. You're like, okay, then go. Like, we all know we want to be here. If you don't know you want to be here, then you need to leave.
Yeah, you're taking up a spot for someone who actually does want to be here.
Yeah, and it had nothing to do with Matt ultimately, but it always sounds like that. You're talking about, you know, the person that's there, because we dealt with that last season, and there were a lot of guys like, well, if you don't want to be here, then don't be here. And she could have just explained that away. I think people still would have been upset because you don't crash another, you know, another group date that you're not on. Yeah. But I think that it could have sort of ended a lot of this earlier if she would have just said that.
Yeah.
And clearly she needs Katie to be her PR spokesperson or something.
Yeah, clearly.
And so while all this was going on, we had the one-on-one, which, like I said, by and large was pretty tame. I mean,
yeah, I really like her vibe and her energy. Serena P, I mean, but like she was so up, she was upbeat the entire time. Like she was just like her laugh in, I think Matt said it was like infectious, her smile, like it was just a good, like that's what we needed in the middle of everything else we were going through watching with Sarah and everyone else in the house. Like it was just, she had such good energy and there was definitely a connection there. So, but nothing, you know, like you said, nothing crazy happened.
It was a nice, palate cleanser, I guess.
Yes.
Because
there you go.
It's sort of bland, but fine. Like there was nothing bad about it. I think if anything, you had her attacking him in a fun way, but attacking him for having a turtle. Like, were you a weird kid? You know, what the hell does a turtle do? You know, it just sits there. Like, obviously we all love turtles, but like,
obviously,
you know, cause who doesn't like a turtle, but if you have it as a pet, what is it? It literally would just, here, which I thought was fun. Weird. And she was great on the horse where he was sort of worried, like, oh, are you going to know what you're doing? And then she's like running in front of him. And they get interrupted by donkeys. Like it was, again, perfectly fine. We got the weekly dose of a hot tub because obviously.
Of course. I'm wondering if she's going to make it to hometowns because her big, like, quote unquote story with him was how her dad was so against, you know, this process in the show, and her, you know, finding love on reality TV. So I wonder if that was kind of like a foreshadowing moment of her making it that far so we can see how he reacts to Matt.
Well, because usually they have to edit the dads to seem like they're going to kick the dude out of the house because they hate the process. They're like,
oh, this girl, she might make it far. Like, we're gonna be in the clear for this one.
We actually have the father.
To do anything.
Yes, we've already convinced the father to be the bad guy. This is great.
That was her quote-unquote dramatic, like her one thing she chose to talk about with him, really.
Well, and the other thing was they talked about past relationships where she had one, and he didn't say how many he had, which I thought was very interesting. Yeah. She asked, she said, well, how many serious relationships have you had? And he said,
like, oh, my last one.
And he said it only lasted 4 months. And how dare she? She wanted to put a title on it. Oh my God. I can't believe that. And his way out of that was, you know, if we're not on the path to get married, then we shouldn't be doing what, I don't know if he said dating or being together, but basically like, if you're not going to get married, what's the point?
Makes sure. sense, I guess.
But for
if
him,
that's where you are at, if that's where you're at with your life.
Yeah. I think more just after 4 months of seeing someone, if you're not ready to put some sort of title on it or say, we're not going to be anything, which I guess is what he did. That's just sort of funny how he just talked about that as if it's normal. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's normal, right? I mean, out of the game for a while, but I think that seems odd to me.
I mean, me too, but I don't think that's
Lord. And so after all the Sarah stuff, she does go home, but not before. Oh, Serena gets the rose. We all know that. But so Sarah decides, okay, I'm going to go home, and stops by to see Matt first. And he tries to talk her out of it. Isn't able to do that. Which Matt, come on. The girl's literally there just to say she's going, like, let her go. Like, stop trying to make the sale. Like, move on.
Yeah.
For some reason.
I mean, there's obviously though a connect. I mean, we all saw that there was a connection on their one-on-one. So, and he's not seeing what we're all seeing in the house, like all these, you know, all of her crying and her going back and forth with if she should stay or not. So all he has in her mind really is his mind is the one-on-one. I mean, and the date crashing, but.
So in her sort of whole rundown of why she was leaving, do you think she should have dropped the grenade that she did about how she can't live in the house because, you know, all the women are making it miserable for her?
She should have dropped names. No, I'm just kidding. But I mean, if you're going and you know you're never coming back, like, might as well just be like, you know, we're not going to be together. I have no interest in doing anything else in this franchise ever again. So here's my list of... of girls that are really actually terrible.
Victoria. It's funny. I wasn't going in that direction here, but that reminds me of how many times I've given people crap for not specifically naming names when they leave on a rose ceremony. They don't get picked and they say like, hey, by the way, XYZ is totally fake.
Is
and
the villain.
Yeah. Like just don't be fooled by them. Cause people are never specific. And I had totally forgotten about that.
Especially when there's like four or five left and one person's like so terrible. You're just like, what do you have to lose? Like you're obviously not going to be, I mean, unless you're like Peter and Kelly, like you're never going to be together. So like why not try to help him out in his journey?
And those are footsteps you don't want to follow in anyways, but so that's a great point. I wasn't going that way. I was, you know, even in my notes here, I was thinking like, did you really need to mention that on your way out? But, I'm with you. She didn't go far enough because for years I've asked people why they haven't named names at rose ceremonies on their way out for that exact reason that you mentioned. So A+, because, why wouldn't you say, hey, by the way, Kit basically told me that, you know, this was going to be hell on earth if I stayed here. And I couldn't even talk to MJ. She like walked away from me before we could even say
Victoria is Victoria.
Yeah. And Victoria is just awful to everyone. So,
No, like if you weren't going that route, I think I probably would have just used like my family as not an excuse, but as the reason to, you know, I feel like during this time I should be with my family and they're going through a lot and it's not right for me. I don't feel it's right for me to be here. Then that's what I would have gone with. But I mean, if you're done and you know you're done, what's the hurt? Unless she did and they edited it out. And
yeah, that's true. And we'll see sort of how he reacts to that sort of information. Cause like I said, sometimes people will say something very generic, even more generic than that. And the lead will then address it with the group, you know, and usually it's something along the lines of, if you're not here for me or the right reasons, drink, then there's the door. So I'll be curious to see how he addresses that. And maybe that's part of what leads to these new women coming next week, which surprise, surprise, we're getting five new people added in. And maybe that's something that they liked how it worked last time with Tayshia.
I'm actually surprised that it's actually taken this long. Like, why not throw in random people in the middle of a season? Like, why did it take so long to do? Why did we need a pandemic when it was boring?
Especially when, you know, this far in, which, you know, like they said, was what, three, 4 weeks, you mm-hmm. know where your weak spots are and sort of where, okay, we know the drama is going to come from here, going to come from there. And yeah, Victoria is going to call everyone bitches and say that they're fake and she's the queen and she's going to make some bad puns. Like, they know that. But you say, okay, well, we have an empty spot here and an empty spot here. And so you can pick and choose sort of the characters you need to come in and sort of fan the flames.
Yeah.
So I'm here for it. Right. I think it's great.
I do too. And it looks like it's going to be an issue for a lot of people. So
yeah, my only issue last time was that they only brought in the four new guys. I thought it should have been more. And so we'll see if, I think five at this point is probably good because it seems like there are more people left here than there were. Maybe I'm wrong, but then there were in The Bachelorette. I don't know if that's accurate or it feels that way. Maybe because it just feels like there's still left women here. And I don't know, like, I know three of them. Mm-hmm. And that's probably bad. Yeah. But I think it's great. I think, like, let's go. Let's burn it to the ground. Let's go.
Mm-hmm. I'm ready.
And, you know, they come in guns blazing, talking about how they saved the best for last. And so they're clearly not here to play nice, which a lot of the girls were going out of their way, which led to the sorority comparisons. Like, everybody was being nice and, you know, going to sing Kumbaya except Victoria. And now, forget that. Like,
well, I think that's what's different, I think, from last time. Like, I think that with the guys, like, as soon as Tayshia came in, like, we didn't have any drama or any bad people. I mean, we had Bennett, and then they started coming out and having issues, like Chasen and like all that, like, petty stuff.
But yeah, very petty.
Here, I think, like, I mean, we had drama and mean girl drama, like, from the first night. I feel like with Tayshia, like, they kind of all had their friendships and, like, bromances going on because they all went through that whole Claire thing. And so it, like, made them more of a unit when Tayshia came in. But this is just, like, this is just all over the place. So this will be interesting.
I mean, even to the point where someone is accusing another one of the women of basically being a prostitute. And
I'd love to see where that's going.
So listen, we hate bullying. And so if it's not true, whatever, but
like, how do you even
God.
Know that? That's why I'm interested.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm so here for it. And so there's a lot more drama on the way, and it hopefully won't be any more Sarah. It won't be as much Victoria. It's going to be these new women who are just coming in to just destroy everything. And I love it. It's going to be so great.
I'm ready.
I'm ready as well. Before we head off to week four and hopefully forgetting that Matt has the worst hiccups ever. I don't know how he survives with hiccups like that. Was there anything else?
How have we, like, never had that before? Really?
It's just, I've had hiccups before, but I don't,
it's intense.
Yeah. It just somehow, like, overtakes his entire body where he, like, can't close his mouth while he does it. And it's, like, super loud. So I'm very confused there, but, beyond that and the weirdest hiccups ever, is there anything else going on, non-matchler related?
Yeah, a few things, nothing too crazy, but, before we drop the whole Sarah thing, I don't know if you saw the story, but there were photos that were leaked of her pre-COVID leaving a club with G-Eazy one time.
What? No, I didn't. Absolutely did not see that.
Yeah, so that's kind of that picture's like everywhere for some reason. Like people are like really intrigued with it. So yeah, apparently one time pre-COVID she was spotted leaving.
I don't even know what to do with that.
Yeah, my that's Lord. Just there you go. Crystal and her boyfriend are moving in together because she's obviously pregnant, so that's probably a good idea. Jordan Kimball is engaged, which to his girlfriend, which I didn't even know he had a girlfriend.
Non-bachelor related. Okay.
And then another engagement is, I think this was before your time, before you started watching Bachelor, but Markel Martin was on Andy's season.
Yeah, that's before my time.
Yeah, so he got engaged to his girlfriend, not Bachelor related.
What are these people doing?
Yeah, but he was from Andy's season, and he was on Paradise, I think the first season, first or second maybe. And he was also, a lot of people in Bachelor Nation had hopes of him being the first Black Bachelor back in that day of, I think, like, I don't know what year it was, 2014, 2015.
That sounds right.
So
right before I started watching, because I started.
It's pretty sad that it took this long to get our first Black Bachelor, but that's a whole nother thing. Mm-hmm. And then this is like not negative. It's kind of negative, but also kind of funny at the same time. So I don't know if you saw Mike Fleiss tweeted. He tweeted a few days ago, whoever that former cast member / idiot is who went to the rally at the Capitol, I have a message for you. You're officially exiled from Bachelor Nation. So then everyone started replying to that tweet, and no surprise, it was James McCoy Taylor.
Yeah, it's not a surprise.
Who's very on, like, has no problem tweeting and Instagramming his views, political views, on every single matter. But I honestly forget what season he's from, but he really tried to just launch his country music career.
So do we know if he was actually in the Capitol or if he was just at the rally?
I believe he was just at the rally.
Okay, so he wasn't a terrorist. He was just one of the people at the rally.
Yeah. Okay, yes.
Because big difference. One is going to prison and one is perfectly fine.
Right. No, I have not seen that he was actually
interesting. Okay, because I'm gonna say like it's a big difference.
So then Mike Fleiss replied and was like, "Thank you all for letting me know," and tags James Taylor and says, "Shame on you." And then everyone starts flipping out because he tagged James Taylor, the actual James Taylor.
Like James Taylor.
Like James Taylor, like the OG. And then everyone starts replying and was like, "Oh my gosh, you tagged the wrong James Taylor," and started freaking out about that. And then he finally came back a day later and said, "Apologies to James Taylor. I love Fire and Rain."
So, oh my God.
I thought that was pretty great. But
that's incredible.
That's all I have.
Awesome. Well, it was a fun week. Look forward to having another one, Sarah free next week. And make sure you follow us on all socials at Bachelor Podcast. Katie, thank you as always.
Thank you.
And we will see you next week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.